I would like to thank my dear brother Paul and his wife Jennifer for their invitation to be part of this celebration. And I would also would like to thank him for reminding us this piece of history. We all came from somewhere, and God so fit that today we are here together so we can worship him and praise him. It is a wonderful journey coming from so far and to be together. But the beautiful thing is we have to remember that the beautiful thing is that we are all part of the family of God. I would like to thank Pastor Patterson also for allowing me to use this pulpit today. I'd like to also acknowledge my wife who's here with us. I know she already stood up. We've been married for 31 years. 31 short years compared to Brother Kakwin, 70 years. So, dear Kathy, we have a long way to go. So for the past 31 years, we invested in each other. And God bless us with three children. The oldest is 28. And the youngest is 18. And in between, we have Tatiana, who is 23. Let me tell you, when you talk to your son or a young man, taller than you, bigger than you, and you talk to him about certain things, certain technology we had in the past, and he has no clue of what you are talking about, that tells you that you are an old man. Yesterday we had a conversation regarding the rotary telephone. He said, "What's that?" And I said, "You don't know what it is?" But Tatiana was 23. She had an idea of what it was. And I said, "Okay," after explaining to him that this is a phone. And I said, "How do you use that?" And he said, "I don't know. I think you heard the word rotary. So you just turn the numbers and stuff." That was really amazing. And Tatiana said, "What is the very first thing you have to do?" And Tatiana said, "Oh, you have to pick up the phone." And then I said, "What's next?" And he said, "Well, I have to Google it." Wow. I have to Google it. Imagine I will be speaking to my dad right now and tell him, "Well, I have to Google it." First thing he would say, "What are you talking about?" Right. You go to the dictionary. Young people don't use dictionary anymore. So you understand now the type of challenges that family are facing. We are thinking that, okay, you are from a different world. This is only about 39 years that separate him from me. And relatively, about the same also that separate my dad from me, about 30 plus years. So there are challenges within the family. However, we can have fun through those challenges. There are challenges from within, but the major challenges are coming from outside. The family has been under attack by the enemy from the beginning. If you are having some issues in your family, if you're having some problems in your family, well, guess what? You're not the only one. There is a gap between members of the family. The gap is a lack of understanding. I gave an example of a well-known equipment or device that we were using, the telephone, the rotary phone, and my 18-year-old son was pretty much, that was pretty much a foreign piece of equipment for him. Now, if we're talking to a young person about a CD, depending on your age, that may already be obsolete. You talk about a cassette player. You're talking about 8-track. Well, my oldest did not understand what an 8-track was. I remember back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I would enjoy my 8-track. But also, young people would laugh at older folks because they're having difficulties adapting themselves to the latest technology. One time I was at a dealer for service, and then I was asking the one of the salesmen, how is it going with the sales of a specific Cadillac, where there was a new technology where you have no more knobs for anything inside of the vehicle. So to turn on the radio, it is all a different way, no knobs. And he was sharing with me that there was a older man who drove miles to come to the dealer to have a serviceman to lower the radio volume of the vehicle. So he didn't know how to do it. He turned on the radio, the music was a little bit loud, and he could not lower it down. So we are living in an era where there is apparently a gap between the generation. But God intended to have the family as the backbone of society. Before we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads for a short prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, may you speak through me. May you speak to our hearts. And when we leave this place, Lord, we will leave with a message that will help us to carry on, navigate through this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to open your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. I will be reading from the NIV. Before we talk about family, this is family life. This is a family life day. And we are talking about family. But before getting deep into the issue of family, we need to understand what is the fundamental, the glue, and the foundation of the family. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7, make it clear. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not proud. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is extremely, extremely important in a family life. Now, today, the focus of the sermon is not about marriage. It is about the family. However, marriage is also part of the family. And I entitled the sermon, Investing in the Family. Now, for those who are familiar with the stock market, before a good investor will invest in the stock market, you will do a lot of research. You will study stocks. Then you will invest. But the goal is to maximize your return potential. You invest so much, but you are expecting much more. Those who are making an investment in their lives, in their family, also expect the same. However, there are good investments, there are also bad investments. The Bible provides to us a treasure of investment strategies to improve our family relationship. The Bible contains countless pro-family principles and instructions. We learn and practice them. They will make our family relationship much better if we learn and practice them. How is your family today? How strong is your family? How tight is your family? How safe is your family? Is your family bulletproof? No one else can enter? You know the answer. Only you can answer that. As I said, there are good investments and there are bad investments. Some investments will hurt your relationship. The me first mentality, me the boss mentality. My way or the highway mentality. Those may work for a short while because of fear. Children fearing their parents or even spouse fearing their spouse. But in the long term, your portfolio will be hurt. Your portfolio will be affected negatively. Sister White wrote in the Ministry of Healing, society is composed of families and is what the heads of families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life, and the heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. The family is such an important entity in our society. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward. If you hear and carefully follow the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today, do not turn aside to the right or to the left from any of the words I command you today, and do not go after other gods to serve them. God wants his people to be the head, but not the tail. But all society starts with what? With the family. The church starts with what? With the family. The community starts with the family. Now you may say, okay, if I'm a single parent and I have a child, is it part of it? Yes, there are different types of family. But this is still the family. And the Bible has many examples of that. Even if you don't have any children, you adopted a child, this is part of the family. There is an opportunity for you to invest into that family. 3 John verse 2 tells us, "Beloved, I pray that you may be prosper, or you may prosper in all things." What did I say? In all things. "And be in health, just as your soul prosper." God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be the head and not the tail. Today we will look at a few counsels from the Bible to strengthen and protect your family. In other words, let's look at a few counsels from the Bible to invest wisely in your family so you may receive a maximum return on investment. First, understand each other. There is a lack of understanding within family members. Now, the fact that my son did not understand a certain technology, or the fact that a young person would laugh at an older man or woman who didn't know how to use the stereo of his car. There are so many other things that create friction where we end up laughing at each other. We end up not taking the time to understand each other, to understand where the other member comes from. Her thought, his thought, what it was exposed to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us, "In the same way, you husband," I am reading from the NLT version, the New Living Translation, purposefully. "In the same way, you husband must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered." The NIV or the King James did not go that far in details. But if you do some research, when you hear the weaker vessel from the King James, you may be misled. You may be, she may be weaker than you are. However, she is your equal. What kind of weakness are we talking about? It could be physical weakness, maybe smaller than you are. Maybe, especially during those times, based on research, women did not earn as close as what men would earn, and most women will not work. So financially, she would be weaker. However, once you marry her, she is an equal partner in God's and God's gift. We understand that in that text, we are directly instructed to understand our wives. But it would not be a mistake to have a theological interpretation of that text and say that we must understand each other, especially if we are member of the same family. Father or husband, understand your wife. Wives, understand your husband. Parents, understand your children. And children, understand your parents as well. Those are all part of an investment. James chapter 1 verse 19 says that we should be quick to listen. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I don't think you will find any young person who will not appreciate that their parents are quick to listen. Because it is very easy for parents to cut their children off. They start speaking, you cut them off. Spouses are doing that as well. And sometimes we end up in a situation where each other are finishing each other's sentences. But sometimes you may not know what the rest of the sentence will be. You are going by guessing, or you might be going by your own feelings. So when you are listening, that gives you a great opportunity to learn about the other. Parents also have a problem of listening to their children. And their children also, sometimes they're hearing, but they are not listening. Because they are hearing out of fear. And then once they are old enough, guess what? No more fear. And they are missing the point. They are not investing on their future. The advice that your parents or your grandparents can give you are golden stuff, because it's almost like they live in the future. They know what may or will happen if you are on a certain path. Society appears to be changing so rapidly. Technology is changing, but we are still dealing with the same thing. Back in the days, you would write a love letter to someone or a letter to your parents. Now, who has time to write a letter? You just text. Before text, between letters and text, there was email. Let me give you an example. We sometimes, the young people, feel so much in control that they think that my parents don't even understand what they're talking about because they don't speak my language. Well, the language is very similar, different words, but about the same thing. And they're making decisions on their own without consulting. That means you are investing without any advice. You don't have an advisor. Whereas you have a free advisor at your home. I remember when I met my wife, well, not my wife yet, but I met that girl, that young girl, beautiful girl, that I was madly in love with. And the only problem was, at that time, my parents were in Haiti. We did not grow up in the same environment. She grew up in New Jersey. I left Haiti when I was in my early 20s. Therefore, I wanted to make sure that I am making the right decision. But I know that I had a praying mother who lived about some 1,000 miles away. I had to send her a picture of that young girl that I planned on marrying. Many young people would not care about what their parents think. But for me, I was in suspense until I get an answer. But it was a long waiting because I have to send a letter, write a letter, include the picture of that young girl in that envelope, and wait for an answer. But when I received an answer back from my mom, and she said, "You know what? She's the one. I love her." That was a major leap off my chest. And after 31 years, she was white. Why am I explaining this? I'm sharing with you this personal experience. It's because to me and to most of us, it is the most important decision that you are making in your life. It's the biggest investment you are making in your life. First, you rely on God. You didn't ask to be born in a certain family, but God chose for you to be born in that family. Therefore, your parents are resources. They have experience. They live before you. Let's think about Noah. At 500 years old, at the age of 500, he had his three sons. Then preached for 100 years, talking about the world would be destroyed. The entire community was laughing at him. "This old man must be drunk. I will work for him. I will build the ark. But this old man must be drunk." There were plenty of room in that ark to save so many. But only those three young men, with their wives, and Noah's wife, entered that ark. Those young men invested in their father. That's why they were saved. Young people, are you investing in your parents? Parents, are you investing in your children? Number two, be committed to each other. Parents, husbands, wives, children, when you make a promise, try your best to keep your promise. We are living in a world where people, in a society where people are making promises vaguely, without any thought to it. You are making promises just for the sake of making promises. Keep your promises. Even God wants you to keep your promises. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 tells us, so when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through. If you know that you're not going to keep the promise, don't make any promises. That destroys your relationship. Or that will cause your relationship to become weaker and weaker. When you said on that beautiful day, in front of the Lord, in front of the society, in front of your parents, I do until death, you have to mean it. Yes, there will be some challenges, but understand when your life reflects that you really meant what you said, then there is a level of expectation from the other party. There is a sense of security from your spouse that builds up the relationship. Third, give honor and respect to each other. The first one is understand each other. Secondly, be committed to each other. Third, give honor and respect to each other. We are in a situation where, hopefully it is not in the church, but in this world, there's a lack of respect. This is a major problem in society. As when I talk to young boys, I strongly encourage them to respect young women. Your way of speaking to a girl should show respect. Now, a young girl also need to show respect to the young man, but also to herself. You cannot lower the bar. You cannot accept certain things. And I tell the young boys, if a young girl allowed you to speak a certain way to her, she's not the right one to be around. Because that will develop in you a bad habit of talking down to young girls, and later on to women. Respect. Respect for your parents. The Bible tells us, honor, that this is the fifth commandment, your father and your mother, so your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Well, as a young teenager, you may say, okay, what about me? I need to respect my parents. Yes, you have to respect your parents. But parents, respect your child too. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, my son, obey your father's command and don't neglect your mother's instruction. But the Bible wants parents also to invest in their children. All of us want to be respected and appreciated. None of us want to be taken for granted. A long day in the workforce may be extremely challenging for the husband or for the wife. After a long day of trials and tribulation at work, you're on your way home and then you have to deal with the traffic. Then you enter the house. The face may not be too good. Your facial expression may not be too good. But the one who is receiving you at the door or in the house should show a high level of respect and compassion. Because you have no idea during those 8 hours and or 10 hours or even 12 hours what you have been through. I have no idea what you've been through. It is a time to give the relationship a chance where you are willing to listen. They are all connected together. But sometimes the problem of respect is because of pride. You feel sometimes folks think by respecting others, you are putting yourself down. It is a sinful pride that causes the lack of respect. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us to humble yourself, thinking of others as better than yourself. Who wants to be thinking of others as better than ourselves? Now, we're talking about a family. Now, the church is made of several segments of the family. Those advice are also applicable for the church, for the society. To humble ourselves and think of others as better than ourselves. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. What a beautiful thing when you come home and your wife or your husband tells you, "How was your day? You don't look too happy. Has it been tough for you today? I am ready to listen." Or maybe the wife or the husband was at home. He had a rough day with the children also, with a sick parent also. He may go the other way around. But when you show respect, we show understanding and show a high level of listening skills, that will be a great investment into the future. Fourth, offer emotional support and encouragement to each other. We are emotional folks. We are emotional beings. We do need encouragement. We do need someone to care for our mental and emotional being. Perhaps the easiest way to grow a healthy relationship is to offer encouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing." A lot of people in this world are being destroyed, and they are being destroyed by older folks. They are being destroyed by their parents. They are being destroyed by others that are older than them. "You are no good. You are stupid. Nothing good will come out of you. You will be nothing." Or, God forbid, if there was a divorce in the family, The mother is so angry against the father. You be just like your father. You just like your father. It is not in a complimentary sense. Or the father will say, you just like your mother. Those are things that happen all the time. What kind of investment it is in the self-esteem of that child. And we see in our communities the behavior of a lot of young people, that's because of a lack of self-esteem. Because they have been damaged. And in some cases, some parents, they love their child so much. But first of all, there are a lot of men who will, I'm going to share that with you. A lot of men who will not be, well, that may be cultural also, will never tell their son that I love you. There are male who will never allow their son to kiss them. That you raise from birth. It may be a cultural thing. But we are, in some cases, tearing each other apart. Yeah, you will never achieve anything. But what I almost forgot what I was going to say. Sometimes a parent thinking that she's doing the right thing or he's doing the right thing doesn't want the child's head to blow up, to think too highly of himself, will speak negatively in his presence. And behind him, will say so many great things. No, what that child is hearing is affecting him. They say that to neutralize a bad comment, it takes 8 to 10 positive comments. That means if you tell your son that you are stupid, you will never be somebody. You need to find on that same day 8 to 10 positive comments to at least neutralize that so he doesn't dwell on that negative. My brothers and sisters, God wants the family to survive and to be successful. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 tells us that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostle's feet. Barnabas, that was not his original name. He was called Joseph. But because of the way he would encourage the disciples, and he became an apostle later on, Acts chapter 14, verse 14, Barnabas, or Joseph, was so into encouraging each other. We need folks like this in the church to encourage each other. The disciple changed his name to Barnabas, son of encouragement. When we have someone who's spending the time putting together a program, someone taking the time to keep the church clean, someone taking the time to make a phone call or visit somebody who's sick, that person needs encouragement. We all need encouragement. This is what will propel the desire in us to do even better. There is a famous actress, her name is Celeste Holm. She said that we live by encouragement and we die without it, slowly, sadly, and angrily. When you are not encouraged in life, you are not willing to do better. You are not willing to move forward. A smile, a word of encouragement, a focus on the positive, even giving gifts are factors that are, those are good stocks. Let me put it that way. Those are good stocks that you are investing on. Your family member feel wanted, feel appreciated. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 tells us that fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Sometimes it may be hard. It may be frustrating when you ask your son or your daughter to do something, they don't do it. They said, yes, I'm going to do it, and then they end up not doing it. That can be frustrating. But this is an opportunity for you to invest well. Because you can easily make the wrong investment. Number 5, which is the last one. Ask for and offer forgiveness to each other. Without forgiveness, my brothers and sisters, you cannot have a healthy marriage. You cannot have a healthy home. You cannot have a healthy church. You cannot have a healthy community. You cannot have a healthy nation. Forgiveness is the core value of the Christian life. When somebody feels like he's always right, what does that tell the other person? That means you're always wrong. You know, we know, when someone is offended. You may offend somebody by mistake. You may offend somebody knowingly. But as a Christian, all it takes to be honest and ask and offer forgiveness. Now, offer forgiveness means that you are the one that has been offended, but you still offer your forgiveness. Anyone who lives in a family of any kind knows that people will disappoint you and hurt you. Among siblings, there will be some fight. I had 5 brothers and 1 sister. But my parents raised us to be tight. We have friends, but friends cannot come in between. And thank God I married a wife who understands how close I am with my family. So this is a different closeness. Your closeness with your wife, closeness with your mother, closeness with your siblings, those are different ones. But one doesn't destroy the other. One doesn't supersede the other. Those are different type of relationship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Imagine that the Lord will not forgive you for all the wrong that you have done. Do you think that you will deserve to be at church today? My brothers and sisters, the Bible wants the Lord, through his words, is telling us to forgive each other. No more journals to keep all the wrongdoings. Erase those, take those pages, tear them apart. Start writing all the good stuff that happened in your relationship. How intelligent is your son? How beautiful is your daughter? How smart is your wife? How loving she is? How handsome is your husband. How wonderful members of the family are. Invest into your family. The investment is very important, my brothers and sisters. Not only it is to receive the blessings of God, because we have to understand, when we married someone, that young woman that you married is a child of God. You don't want God to be upset at you. You don't want her dad, you don't want her father to be upset at you. That young man that you married is a son of God. You don't want to be on God's, you want to be on God's side. You want to receive his blessings. Noah's children understood that. Rahab family. I don't know if you are familiar with Rahab. We can find her story in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, 22 through 25. She is Rahab, the prostitute, the harlot. Her family invested on her. She, when Joshua, the children of Israel, came to destroy Jericho, she was saved. And her father's household were also saved because they took safety at her home. She was a prostitute. In spite of the lifestyle she had, the parents, the family invested in her. Her faith saved her family because they all came to the ark of safety at her home. Now, regardless of your past, God has a plan for you. That Rahab I'm talking about, if you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she's the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. Anna invested on her son, Samuel. Ruth invested in Naomi. Because of her investment, she ended up married Boaz. And she was blessed. And she's the great-granddaughter of Rahab and the great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, regardless of where you come from, regardless of your past, you still have an opportunity to invest. Invest right. God has a plan for his family. Today is family life. But let's not just focus on today. Let's make this family life an everyday life. Because the family is the backbone of society. The society that is in decline is because of a problem of relationship and the decline of the family. The church that is in decline is also a result of what's going on in the family. Brothers and sisters, let us come together, strengthen our family, invest in our family, invest in the family of God, because at the end of the day, we all belong to the family of God. But before I leave you, I would like to remind you and read again the text of meditation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. You will find some obstacles. You will find some challenges, but be patient. Love is kind. Not always my voice is soft. Not always your voice is soft. Not always you come with kindness, but as my spouse, as my child, as my parent, if you return kindness. Because the reason I'm saying that is because we're all sinners. We are not 100% ourselves every time. But if we are doing bad and another member of the family is doing bad, too bad, make it really bad. So love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. You think of others before you think about yourself. It is not easily angered. You don't get easily offended and get easily upset. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you and for me is that we analyze our portfolio and see what are the bad stock, the bad bonds that we need to get rid of, and invest on the good ones. God wants our family to be successful. God wants us to be the head and not the tail. Therefore, let's put in practice all the beautiful counsels that are placed in the Bible for our sake. May the Lord bless you.